Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
With Lenny Kravitz today for your artist of the day, if that's all right with you guys. Lenny. In his music library today. Brothers and sisters, join hands. It is a Festivus Friday today, and I'm very excited.
It's 65 degrees out.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, my God. It's like the greatest day that God ever invented.
It's a pretty good day. It's a pretty good day.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's a pretty good day.
So you had a good day and a good night last night.
I'll be quick. I have seen hundreds of concerts in my life. Justin Timberlake musically is not a lot my style. I mean, I like some of his songs. I know some of it. I didn't know a lot of the stuff he played last night. I knew some. Visually, one of the greatest shows I have ever seen in my life. I was
really
blown away. I wish there was a picture of my face from last night because it looked like this.
What is happening?
So I stare at these lasers that are coming out of the ceiling.
You and the lasers.
I love them. And his stage was, I hate to say he played in the round because he didn't play in the round per se, but there was no, like, the stage is on this end of the building and he's staying on that end of the building. They had, like, this windy little thing with fake trees and fake grass coming up everywhere. And
a campfire?
There was a campfire and they all sat around and sang around it. And I was like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm out in the woods. Maybe that's why they call it the Man in the Woods tour.
All of my girlfriends went and said it was outstanding.
Visually, it was one of the best shows. Musically, I didn't care for it, but it was fine. But visually, one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. I was completely stunned.
I'm so glad you went.
I would go back.
And Kelly had a good time?
She did. Two stories real quick, if I can. I will go back to Justin Timberlake as long as the lady to my right is not to my right ever again. She had a large Hard Rock, like, purse that had a long strap in it, so it dangled on her left hip.
Okay.
And that woman was a violent dancer.
Scott, don't you remember the first time I went to Bon Jovi? I came back bruised. Because
and
I
smelling
kept
like urine.
Dancing. Well, that was the
that
second
was
time
fault.
I went. I kept dancing into the wooden armrests.
Yeah.
Violently.
This woman liked Justin Timberlake a little more than I did.
Okay.
And so every time she would like swing her hips like this,
bam!
Right? Boom! And that purse would just go flying because it was a long strap purse. It was like
crossbody
like satchel. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And that purse would fly off her left hip and hit me right in my right one.
Yep.
Actually, that kind of hurt because I'm bruised. And then she danced like, and she was not fat, but she was a larger woman.
Okay.
And I'm not the smallest guy in the shed either. So we were tight. And she, and I'm just standing there going like this, you know, white boy dancing to Justin Timberlake, you know, like this. Oh, this is a good song. Oh, this is Mirrors. I like Mirrors. This woman was like this.
Arms up.
Oh,
she hips everywhere. All over.
Everywhere.
She wanted JT to see her just giving it right back to him.
She must have hit me 1,000 times last night.
Mm.
It's okay.
It's fine.
It was all love. How's
your hip? You all right?
It was all love.
Hard to walk today.
Okay.
A little hard to walk, a little tender.
You can stand for the show to stretch it out.
It's tender meat. It's real tender down there.
Yep.
What happened on the way to the show?
Okay. I don't want to gross anybody out.
But
we hired an Uber to take us to the show because we found that it's, I mean, you pay the same amount as you basically pay for parking. So we just Uber to the show. Guy was nice. Played a lot of like 60s folk music on the way down, which was kind of annoying. But we get downtown basically by Bartle. And I didn't hear it. But the guy dropped wolf bait right there in the car.
Oh, no.
And I've smelled in my life a lot of farts.
You know you can ding him for that.
I'm not going to ding him. He obviously had to let it out.
Well, I don't know.
It was, if that was a top five visual concert I saw last night, that was a top five fart.
Okay.
Of my life.
Well, sometimes you have to get through the bad to get to the good. A little bit of rain before the rainbow.
Right. Right. Kelly thought it was me initially. And we're in the back seat until she looks over. She looks over like this. You know, like,
because
what?
You both know.
Oh, yeah.
Trudging through the fog.
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't miss this thing. But when she looked over, she realized I was laughing. So she knew it wasn't me.
No.
Because, you know, I think farts are funny.
Right.
I'm a weirdo. But I'm in the back seat like this. So she knew immediately it was a driver. The best line I heard all night was they had blocked the road leading straight up to the front door of the Sprint Center. Okay, when you get near the west side of the Power and Light District. And he turns onto whatever street it is and on the west side of the Power and Light. And he said, he goes, I'm going to try to get you to the front door of the Sprint Center. Immediately, Kelly goes,
No,
this is good. This is good. We can walk.
We're going to walk. You were like on I-35. We're going to walk.
She didn't miss a beat. He's like, I'm gonna turn here and try to get you. No, we're good. It was the best line of the night.
Last night, because I know we're going into a weekend, a lot of you, we're going to be watching basketball. You're going to be looking for stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide this weekend to go see a movie.
Oh, you saw something last night.
I have a couple of warnings for everyone listening. Kara read the story a few months ago that this movie in early screenings was so scary. People were throwing up. People were walking out. I considered, and I did not, walking out because I took the kids to go see the new Jordan Peele horror film, Us. So if you've seen Get Out, which was a brilliant thriller, this is twice as brilliant and 10,000 times scarier. And I don't want to tell you what it's about. If you're into thriller type movies, I don't want you to read about it. I want you to go watch it cold.
It's getting really good
just
reviews.
Just watch it cold, because how screwed up is this guy in the head, Jordan Peele, that he even came up with what happens in this movie? It is so smart, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. You just have to go. But I would not take, if your kids are a little weird about scary movies, but my kids saw Get Out and loved it. It's one of their favorite movies. So I thought it was Jordan Peele. We'll go see another one. And there are parts that are funny, like in Get Out, the dialogue. Some of the dialogue's funny.
Jordan Peele's not the guy from Key
yes,
Peele, is he?
Yes, he is. And they're saying he is the new Alfred Hitchcock. Because I am telling you,
he's a comedian and a horror movie producer.
He is now a producer, director, writer. This is one of the scariest movies I have ever seen in my life. Don't go see The Late Show and then go home alone. It's that bad.
Like, it's like, go look under the cars.
Yeah, it's like, go see it at like 5 o'clock and then
okay,
figure out watch some basketball. You need a buffer between watching this and going home and going to bed.
Is it gory horror or scare your pants off horror?
Both.
So it's like Saw meets Sixth Sense.
It's not as graphic as Saw, but the parts that are graphic are graphic. And some people are saying Lupita, who plays the lead in this, she was in 12 Years a Slave. She's a brilliant actress.
Oh, okay.
Some people
she was also in Star Wars.
She should win an Oscar for her portrayal of this woman in this film. And I don't know that I can disagree. She is that
horror good. Movies rarely
win. But if you're it
rarely even get nominated.
Last night was the premiere. I think it did a huge number.
Yeah, it did. Like 7.4 million. Just
which is crazy on the first
Thursday.
Night of the basketball tournament. I remember thinking, are we really going to go do this tonight while basketball's on? If you're looking for a good scary movie, Scott.
Really? I don't like scary movies.
This is crap your pants scary.
I just watched the trailer, and it looks scary.
Two of my kids loved it, and the third one was like, why did we do that? Why did we do that? And I'm like, I didn't know.
Which kid
I'm
was scared to death?
I'm not giving the kid up.
Was
I'm
it
not,
a boy or a girl?
Not giving the kid up.
Boy or girl.
But I did text Jack and Lawrence, and I said, go see it with a bunch of buddies during the day. Do not go see this at night.
Really?
And then go back to your house.
And it's called Us?
Can we listen to the trailer, Sam?
Is it clean?
I've listened to most of it. I haven't listened to all of it, so I'm not 100% certain.
Is it clean to the point that you've listened to?
Thus far.
Yeah.
Well, you it's not.
See, this is why we get in trouble.
There's not sexual content in it. There's nothing like that. This is a family.
Play just a little bit of the trailer.
That goes to a vacation cabin and something
happens. You're giving
happens.
Away the story.
That's all it is.
Go to the beginning. Here we go. Wait. Nope.
That's a classic right there.
What does I Got Five on it mean?
It's about drugs.
It's not about drugs. It's a dope song. Don't do drugs.
Get in rhythm.
They're just on the way to their vacation.
And after this, it gets scary and not fun. It starts to go downhill. I can keep playing it.
Well, I haven't heard a bad word, so what are you afraid of? Let's go.
Can't believe how big they've got.
Did you hear Gabe got a boat?
He's kidding, right?
He's not kidding.
Hey, I think it's vodka clock.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Jason?
Jason!
Where were you?
I didn't know if you were lost. Stick with me, and I'll keep you safe.
There's a family in our driveway.
It's probably the neighbors.
But y'all scared of a family?
Hi, can I help you?
Zora, put your shoes on.
If you want to get crazy, we can get crazy.
Okay, I'm good. Thanks, Sam.
They're in the woods. That's all I'm going to say. And there is a family in the driveway. That's all you need to know.
Is the family real?
Not going to say another word. There is a family in the driveway.
I bet they didn't come over.
I am never going to a lake cabin again as long as I live, so help me God.
I'm
going
to guess the family was not there bringing cookies.
Oh, my God.
Welcoming them to the neighborhood for their little family vacation.
There's a family in the driveway. What do they want? You come to barbecue?
Welcome us to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but if you watch the trailer, it gives you a little bit more about the movie. About the other family that's in the driveway.
It's all good until about, you won't soil yourself until about 32 minutes in.
All right. Care marks for Sam. Rod, by the way, is going to be back on Monday. Those of you asking on the text line, he's feeling better. He's going to have to do some physical therapy, but he's feeling better. He'll be back on Monday. Dana Rant, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
I shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy.
Don't worry, Kansas City. We're watching the tournament, so you don't have to. We'll keep you updated on the scores that you care about. You just stay tuned here. A story here from, I believe it's the Kansas City Star, but I'll double check. Michigan State, speaking of the tournament, Michigan State won its first round game of the 2019 NCAA tournament, but that is a small technicality for their head coach, Tom Izzo, who had a full-blown meltdown over one of his players' performance early in the game. Look at the look on his face. That is pure anger.
It's total anger.
Izzo's Spartans went on a 10-0 run early in the game, leading to their very comfortable 76-65 win over Bradley on Thursday. But after taking a strong lead, the head coach was not happy, not at all. And instead of speaking words of wisdom to his players, he instead confronted freshman Aaron Henry for not playing up to his expectation. After the game, Winston, there's a part of this story, I beg your pardon, that is cut out just a little bit, so I don't know who Winston is. Winston explained Izzo was upset that Aaron Henry had jogged back on defense, according to the Detroit Free Press. Izzo, by the way, Tom Izzo was so angry, he had to be restrained by another player.
Had to be restrained, and then when it was all said and done, refused to apologize or walk back what had happened. He said, I'm not. And in fact, if you watch the news conference, Scott, because I did, he said, do you have accountability in your job? Are you held accountable where you work? Because where we work, you're held accountable. Okay.
Yeah, I'm held accountable here.
I will ask you this. Name any other profession or boss-subordinate relationship where this would be tolerated and someone would not be fired.
Any other professional sport?
There's no
or
way.
Collegiate sport.
Outside of athletics, this would never happen without someone losing their job. Well, why do we tolerate it in sports?
Well, that was going to be the very question I was going to ask. Because you're right, Dana. If boss came in here and was upset with something that you or I had said on the radio and started screaming at me, looking like Tom Izzo in this picture, I am not above a good reprimand. God knows I've been downstairs to the office directly below this studio, and I have had my butt chewed a little bit, okay? I don't like it.
Look at that look on his face.
He's very angry.
It's rage. That is rage.
That is rage. It does not feel good when your boss is angry with you, but I have never, except one time, in the 20-some-odd years that I've been at this radio station, I have been yelled at one time. I promised myself after that day I will never be yelled at again. Now, we could say
this wasn't just yelling, Scott. This was a freshman player.
This was rage.
This was rage. He had to be restrained. I don't understand why we tolerate it.
Why do we accept it in sports?
Because
in almost any sport.
It's been happening for so long. We joke about Bob Knight throwing chairs.
We joke about Roy Williams ripping off his sports coat and slamming it down on the floor.
Well, that's kind of funny.
It's not appropriate.
Jacket's off. The jacket is off.
Can you imagine if bigger boss downstairs came running up here and said, I heard what you just said, and rips his sports jacket off and throws it down on the carpet?
I think you'd be laughing.
I would laugh, and then I would go, you have lost your...
What I want to know about this coach, Scott... is if this is how he behaves during the largest tournament of the year when all of the national cameras are rolling and
on a kid jogging back.
And he knows that. How does he behave when no one is watching?
576-7798, 576-7798. Text line, hey, it's sports. When did we become such wimps? Let the kids and the coaches do what they have to do to win. Somebody else writes in, being screamed at would not motivate me to perform better. No, it would not motivate me to perform better either. However, another person points out, you asked for another profession. How about the military?
Okay.
In the military, when you accidentally point your rifle at a tower on a live fire exercise range, that can be a very bad day for you. Okay. Somebody says, I've been yelled at work. I'm a female in construction. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Erica in Kansas City. Hello, Erica.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Hey. So I kind of have maybe an interesting outlook on it, but I was a collegiate athlete. I also have been a coach at the college and high school level, and I also officiate soccer at the college level. And to me, it's very interesting to see kind of the growth of athletics because, as you guys mentioned, you know, it is a $1 million franchise for the NCAA. It's not billions. But the pressure that the coaches put, I think, is unprecedented. I've seen, you know, even at the high school age, I've had high school freshmen, you know, try out for varsity and didn't make the team, and the parents, you know, got really, really upset because that's, you know, that kid's ticket to college is this sport. And it's very interesting to see how much pressure we're now putting on our youth mentally and physically to get to that level to then keep being berated by coaches. I think it has to be a huge systematic change of the way that we coach, because we're creating kids who are going to, you know, impact their future youth the exact same way, which is not, in my opinion, a very positive coaching method.
Well, and just from a practical standpoint, Erica, I said to Scott during the break, every single one of these teams except one is going to lose.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, and these kids, 95% of them are going to make it to the pro level, even if they're playing for the NCAA championship. You know, what are they playing for at this point? Are they playing to keep their coach's job? Or are they playing for themselves and the institution as a whole and their own education as a whole? You know, it's just a huge change of dynamic of where we're going with our college athletics. I think it needs to be a huge impacted change pretty soon.
A couple of things, but Erica, let me, and I'm going to play the devil's advocate with you for just a moment, if that's okay.
For sure.
What would you say to somebody who argues, you know, coaches yell? I think there's a difference between, you know, barking encouragement at a team, which a lot of coaches do, and screaming rage like Tom Izzo yesterday in the NCAA tournament. But what would your argument be? And I've got a couple of things here real quick. To somebody who says he's just trying to motivate this child and get them to do what he wants to do. Number two, and I have three things. The coach's job is on the line with every game, theoretically. And these are jobs that pay those individuals millions of dollars a year and provide hundreds of thousands of dollars in free tuition for these students. And lastly, you said it's gotten a lot worse. Bobby Knight threw a chair across a court in 1985.
Mm-hmm. And we joke about it to this day. To this day, we joke about it.
And to your points as well, these are these coaches' jobs, but it's also the youth that they're bringing to the program. They should have, in my opinion, a different way of coaching. Because, I've coached, you know, in a way and kind of yelled at my athletes in a way, but I've never had an impacted rage like that where I've had to be held back by my own either staff or other players. That can easily turn into, like, as you mentioned, Bobby Knight throwing a chair. What if he hits a player? You know, then we have a whole different scandal.
Well, Bobby Knight did hit players, too.
Well, and right, Erica, yeah. I will say this. When she says, has it gotten better, has it gotten worse, I would like to believe that would not be tolerated today.
Right. My experience is more soccer-related, but referee abuse, even though it's not player-related, has gotten so high that there's not enough. As we all know, there's a nationwide referee shortage in all sports because the abuse isn't just to the players, but to anybody else who is helping these teams lose.
Now, Erica, so, I'll agree with that, and you just reminded me of something. Dana, this is a true story. The other day, Maya, my youngest daughter, who is 14, plays soccer.
Yeah.
We were leaving a movie theater last weekend or the weekend prior, can't recall. And she said, Dad, I just want to let you know I'm going to get my first job. And I said, well, sweetheart, you're too young. You're only 14. You're too young to have a job. She said, no, I could get a job, and I want to get a job as a soccer sideline referee.
Ooh.
Erica, this is a true story because I do coach, and I see the way some other coaches and some parents treat these kids at these games. I turned to her, and I said, the hell you are.
So, yeah, like back in the day, especially for youth, and, you know, going back to the college aspect of it, too, you know, we have to raise people who are prepared to get to that level. No one wants to be prepared to be berated by someone they're supposed to respect.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find ways around that, whether it's communication, you know, soft skills and, like, teamwork. I don't know whether, you know, I understand a $1 million job is on the line, but still, you are leaving an impact on these players. And some players, you know, they're, like, I know you mentioned earlier, like, military. That's a completely different ballgame. That's life or death. Basketball is not life or death. That's
why
some coaches with their five rings want to call it and that trophy for the institution. That's not a life or death situation. So I think those are just kind of apples and oranges.
All right. Hey, Erica, thank you for the call. It was good to talk to you. Casey in Merriam. Hello, Casey.
Hey, first of all, I love Dana. That's my heart right there.
Oh, bless your heart, Casey. Hi.
Scott, thank you for telling me happy birthday every year. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome, and I'm happy to do it.
And I want to tell you guys that sports in the United States, people get very passionate, right?
Yeah.
I will say this. Sports is somewhat a transition to life. I'm with Coach Izzo on this because you are on a big stage. You allegedly surpassed other athletes that were may have been on the cusp of making or getting a scholarship to be able to come to that school, and you get on my court and you jog, and you jog, there's people out there fighting to get on that stage, to just be seen, just to play basketball, and you just took it for granted by not giving 100%. It's the same thing in business. You know, if any job, if you're a manager or a business leader, you don't want people just to show up and take a seat. You want them to show up and make a difference. That's what you're paying them for, right? But you go there and do a halfway job of doing that when there's other people out there fighting to get in the room to get this job? Come on, yeah. Now. We have to think of it like that. He wants each player to give them everything they have during that whole time of the game.
But aren't there, Casey, real quick, great coaches who don't scream and have to be restrained in front of national cameras for their behavior toward a freshman? There are all kinds of great NCAA-level basketball coaches who don't do that, some of whom are very successful.
Mike Krzyzewski, Bill Self.
Great example.
I totally agree, but one thing that you guys don't see is what happens in those closed practice doors.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one thing that most people don't know. Bill Self, everyone here in Kansas thinks Bill Self's the greatest coach, but those players will tell you it's all business when you're in practice. It's all business. And Bill doesn't like to talk to any of the guys. And if he has to talk to you, it's probably because you're not doing something right. So it's we don't know what we don't see behind closed doors.
Now, that's true. But,
now, Casey, yeah. I'm gonna give you a warning if you ever want to be on this show again.
Yeah.
With okay. Dana, who apparently is your heart. Don't you ever talk negatively about Bill Self in front of Dana Wright again.
Hey, I'm a huge Bill Self fan, and I'm down.
Not like Dana is. Oh my God, she would wash his back.
The last thing I will say, Casey, because I find this to be a serious topic, but also funny. If you have never seen the Saturday Night Live skit with Melissa McCarthy as the women's basketball coach,
oh my God, it's so good.
It is the funniest. I'm telling you, it's the funniest parody in the history of SNL.
Hang on, I might try to get that.
Pat, what was her name? Pat something is the overly aggressive women's basketball coach.
She throws a toaster at a kid. Oh, my God.
Players are saying you threw a brick at them. And she's like, well, you put up a brick. I'm going to throw a brick.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of love that.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's so funny, man.
It takes what we are talking about to the extreme.
Yes, it does. It does, but at the end of the day, we all want to see people give their best. Their best. Not mediocre, but their best. And if you do that, we have no screaming Tom Izzo.
Oh, man. But I agree. I try to do my best. And if you're screaming at me, I'm just going to start crying.
Do better!
I can't. You're yelling.
That's right.
I think each coach knows what limit they can push a kid. And they know when someone's giving their best. Like, can we agree? Mitch Lightfoot is great off the bench. Is he a starter?
No.
You know, not really. But when he goes in off the bench, whether we're down by 10 or we're up by 15, he gives you everything.
But Casey, I don't want to belabor the point. We got to get to break here in just a second. I understand that coaches like Mike Krzyzewski and Bill Self, and even to a lesser extent, Roy Williams, they yell at players. I think there's a difference between yelling at players and what Tom Izzo did yesterday in the tournament with Michigan State, where the absolute rage on his face and the fact that another player felt compelled to restrain him from this other player speaks volumes. I don't like coaches yelling at kids to begin with, but whatever. They never asked my opinion. However, I don't ever recall seeing Bill Self or Mike Krzyzewski have to be restored or Dean Smith have to be restrained from a virtual attack on another player.
Yeah,
I think that player just needed a good reminder that it's a privilege to play, not a right.
Well, you know what Tom Izzo might need to be reminded of? What it's like when a superstar player who could be one and done decides to transfer.
That's true. But there's always more in the bucket, right?
Amen. Yeah. All right. Hey, Casey, you be good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. You take care. 576-7798.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. touch this.
From the text line, and we have an open line if you want to grab it at 576-7798. Behavior expectations should be the same for a classroom as they are courtside.
On both sides, correct? Are they talking teacher expectations, professor expectations, coach, and athlete?
That's the way I read it, yes. Coaches are not bosses. I have played very high-level sports for more than 15 years. There are different styles of coaching that are effective. Negative reinforcement is indeed an effective way to get a message across. All right, fair point. Listen to this coach, though.
This week, video surfaced of Rutgers basketball coach Mike Rice berating, pushing, and using slurs against his players. The ensuing outrage led to Rice's termination, but Mike Rice's behavior, while shocking, seems gentle when compared to the actions of this woman, Sheila Kelly, head coach of Division III's Middle Delaware State.
Tonight we investigate Coach Kelly's reign of terror on Outside the Lines.
Sheila Kelly has long had a fiery reputation among her peers, but this week, Outside the Lines obtained practice video showing exactly how far she has gone to motivate her players. Cursing at them,
that ponytail off.
Throwing basketballs, shooting t-shirt guns, throwing bricks at them, threatening them with a baseball bat.
You take that ball and you put it through that hole and I won't hit you with the bat.
While they were on roller skates, even forcing her players to serve her meals.
Where's the bread?
Where's the bread?
I sat down with Middle Delaware State Athletic Director Bill Crenshaw to ask why Coach Kelly was still with the team.
Is Coach Kelly unconventional? Sure. Have most, if not all, the players come to my office and beg for me to replace her? Yeah. But playing college ball isn't supposed to be easy or fun or rewarding. It's supposed to make money for the university. And let's not forget, these kids have it good. They're all getting a free education.
While it is true members of the team receive scholarships, Outside the Lines has obtained classroom video that calls into question the quality of that education.
She just tased the teacher.
Okay. Even I can't take it anymore. If you haven't seen the skit, it's on SNL. Melissa McCarthy is a basketball coach. It's very funny.
Wait, for her haircut alone, you have to watch it. It's the worst hair. It's like the short bang bowl cut.
If you put that ball through that hole, I won't hit you with this bat. Jacob in Lansing. Hello, Jacob.
What's going on?
Hello.
Yeah, I'm with Izzo. I played basketball in middle school and a little bit in high school, and in middle school, we had a coach, a pretty storied coach, everybody well-respected. But, I mean, we had a team seventh grade year, undefeated, and we messed up in practice. We were playing around, and he punts this volleyball that was laying on the court because we messed up a five-man weave, and it goes careening off that metal ceiling. But, I mean, it makes you, you know, not want to mess up that next practice. And definitely translates to a game that, you know, if you mess up, you're going to be benched, and you don't want to be benched.
However, if I may, and Jacob, thank you for the call in advance, I don't have a problem with coaches getting vocal. I don't have a problem. I want to be clear. Right. I think Izzo was out of line yesterday.
Yeah,
was in a complete rage. But I understand coaches yelling at players, even screaming. And I think there's a difference at players. However, using your coach example or Izzo yesterday, what kind of a man is so out of control of his emotion that he can't handle himself when a kid does something wrong to the point where he has to be restrained? That tells me that you are emotionally immature.
I could see where you're coming from, but also, you know, it's the end of the season. These guys have been together every single day. Maybe he knows that this kid can play at a certain level.
Then yell, but Jacob, not to interrupt you, but we're short on time. Then yell at the kid, but don't go into such a rage that you have bench. Put him on the bench. Yell at him when he comes off the court and say,
"Do it out of the cameras.
Get your act together.
Scream at them privately.
Get your act together, or I'm not putting you back on the court."
Yeah, I agree, and I need to watch the video because Izzo's been on the hot seat before for his attitude.
Yeah, I'll never forget, and I know we got to get out of here and get to the news. I'll never forget Gunther Cunningham one time when he was the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. A kicker missed a field goal, I think it was. The kicker is running off the field. Gunther Cunningham gets in front of the kicker who missed the field goal and goes, "F you! F you!"
Yeah.
And I'm like, God dang, you need to get a hold of yourself.
I mean, I saw you toss Takara like that for the news one day, and I was like, that is not acceptable.
It was a little much, wasn't it?
I mean, she'll read the news. You don't have to yell at her.
True.
Newsroom, here is Kara Markser.
Happening now on KMBZ, the president dropping some sanctions against North Korea. That's next.
Say it with more emotion. Better teases.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.